Welcome to Today's Issues, offering a Christian response to the issues of the day. Here's your host, Tim Wildman, President of the American Family Association.
Hey, good morning, everybody, and welcome to this Thursday edition of Today's Issues on the American Family Radio Network. I'm Tim Wildman with Walker Wildman. Good morning, Walker.
Good morning.
Also, Dr. Ray Pritchard's joining us. He's back home in Dallas. Good morning, Ray.
Hey, Tim. How you doing?
Good. So a short trip to Kansas City?
Oh, we drove 1,000 miles in 50 hours. You'll do a lot of stuff for your grandkids, right?
So that's right, brother. And we're glad you got to see the grandkids and the family there in KC and back home in Dallas.
Well, it's a beautiful day. It's, hey, it's golf weather here in Dallas.
What is it, 63, 64?
Yeah, maybe. Maybe a little warmer than that. Maybe closer to 70. Bright, sunny skies, you know.
Well, we got 63 in Tupelo today and some sunshine. So I am looking forward to green grass.
There you go.
To hit my little white ball around on. Huh? And Chris Woodward, by the way,
yes.
Joining us. Chris, filling in for Fred. Have y'all seen this commercial? It's been out for a couple of years with the it's four guys at a golf course, and they're putting up their, you know, their bags and their shoes and everything, getting ready to go. And it's advertising. I think it's advertising a car. Anyway, one guy is just so mad, you know, mm-hmm. as often happens with
that would be me
fellas at the golf course. So mad at himself, he's just like, you know, this, can't believe this, can't believe that, I did this, I did that, I just hate this. I hate this, makes me so angry. And then they shut the door, and the next thing he says is, so what time we playing tomorrow?
That's exactly right. Yeah. That's a true golfer right there.
Oh, me. You're listening to Today's Issues. Walker, what are we doing on the World Wide Web today?
We are live streaming on Facebook and YouTube, so you can go to both of those platforms and watch the show. Just type in Today's Issues Live on YouTube, and you can go to our Today's Issues page on Facebook and watch the show. I'll also be posting all the news stories there, so if you want to read more into it, go to our Today's Issues Facebook page. And lastly, but most importantly, is you can listen to the American Family Radio 24/7, 365 days a year at AFR.net.
Leap year, we keep doing it during leap year.
24/7, 365.
So that would be 366.
Leap year included, right?
Yeah.
366 for leap year, right? For Chris Woodard?
Yes.
Newsman?
Every 4 years.
Yeah.
It's when we elect a president and or there's an Olympic event. Summer
That'd
Olympics.
Be a good trivia question. What's the story behind leap year? Behind every 4 years, adding February 29th to the calendar. But we won't delve into that right now.
That's like calculating the date of Easter, you know.
Exactly.
We get lost every time we try to explain that.
All right, Chris, good news. We talked about this yesterday some. The good news out of Austin, right?
Yes. The news today that we'll be following, Rusty Pugh's done a great job covering this for us already today, but this is from Fox News. Other news outlets have picked up on it. A recording made by the suspected Austin bomber has been discovered. This is clip one, Brent. The bomber has been identified as Mark Anthony Condit. Austin Police Chief Brian Manley talked about the recording on Fox News Channel.
He talks about the actions that he took in Austin. He describes the six bombs that he constructed and the seventh bomb that he had on him that he ultimately detonated when he killed himself in his interaction with our SWAT team.
Now, guys, the recording does not give a motive for the bombings. The police are still investigating. Two people were killed. Several more were hurt by package bombs and a bomb set off by a tripwire. But they are pretty confident that the recording was from Mark Anthony Condit because Chief Manley went on to tell Fox News that, quote, he described six bombs in enough detail to where we feel confident that he built all six bombs because, while there were similarities between all six of them, there were also some things that distinguished them that were that we never released, end quote. Ray, I'm curious. You live in Texas. How has the local news coverage been? Is it pretty much wall-to-wall talking about this?
It has been nonstop. Now, you know, especially these last 4 or 5 days. First of all, Chris, fear just gripped. Obviously, Austin, but San Antonio. Then, you know, people were looking around, UPS trucks, FedEx trucks, people really worried. There's a lot of fear about this. And so now people are trying to figure, trying to get to the point that you just raised. This young man, why did he do what he did? And it sounds like in this long, long recording he left, he talked about his personal problems, but it doesn't sound like he gave a reason for doing what he did, which kind of leaves us back at square one.
Yeah. Well, that's, you know, you always like to know what the motive right. is for somebody doing something like this. And so we may not get it.
Yeah. Todd Starnes took mainstream media to task yesterday on his show as it was airing on Fox News Radio. I believe we aired the recap last night on American Family Radio. But Todd took exception to mainstream media coverage because they were quick to point out that he maybe had some views on homosexual marriage, or he was anti-abortion, or a lot of people were quick to point out that he was homeschooled. And Todd was really upset with that, as if, you know, that's labeling all homeschooled families or individuals as bad, which we all know not to be the case at all. So we do see a lot of people kind of trying to jump to conclusions here, whereas the police are trying to take their time and speaking out when they do have information.
Yeah, what I want to note about that is, over half of America is against same-sex marriage. Over half of America is against abortion. Some of those people commit crimes. Some of them probably commit murders. But if that is not connected to the motive, if their political worldview is not connected to the motive, then it is totally irrelevant. Democrats commit crimes too. Liberals commit crimes too. They commit murders at times. So unless you can connect the dots on motive and political ideology, then it's really they're only bringing it up to smear.
You know, for when we have an act of Islamic jihad, mm-hmm. the motive is clear. These folks are acting, and they tell you, Allah Akbar. Tell you, we're killing people because they don't believe in Allah and they deserve to die. That's our religious motivation for blowing ourselves up, and they espouse this, and it's a real problem within inside Islam, but. This like this fellow here, we don't know yet what his motive was, if we will ever find out, except that he was evidently angry about something. He would be angry about something in his life and decided to take it out on others. Maybe he wanted attention. Who knows? We don't know yet. But yeah, some in the liberal mainstream media, want to make some kind of connection,
right?
Between something. I think he wrote. He was.
In 2008 or
he
something.
He wrote that he had some conservative views.
Yeah, but I also don't like when even some more conservative media outlets like InfoWars, etc., they try to look up the voter registration for people like the Parkland, Florida murderer. Or
like suspected that matters?
Killer. Yeah, they're trying. They that's the first thing they go to is party registration.
Why?
And my thing is, party registration has nothing to do with motive.
No, and in 6 years, and somebody could go, insane or have some kind of mental breakdown or something
like
that.
If we knew that this kid was registered Republican or Democrat, would that really tell us anything? No,
it would not.
You know, I think this is the point, I think, where I'm going to take my reporter hat off for a minute and put on my, EngageMagazine.net or 1 Million Dads cap. But I think it brings up the issue that we all should maybe be doing some more visitation with people, door knocking. When you see somebody sitting by himself at the restaurant, say hi, speak to him, and certainly if you see something, say something. This guy had a number of friends, and as is always the case when something like this happens, the friends come out and they're like, I had no idea something was going on. I never thought he would do something like this. And as you mentioned there, we don't know if he went insane or something happened where he was upset with something. And that's all the more reason to stay in contact with people, or at least try to establish contact with people to let them know that, hey, somebody here cares about you. They want to know how your day is going. What are you up to? Who are you? How can I help you? That kind of thing.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Hey, changing topics. Mm-hmm. Want to get to another topic. We through with that one?
Yes.
Okay. Hey, I was just looking. You guys didn't know I was going to bring this up, but I was just looking at this story about the movie called I Can Only Imagine. Mm-hmm. I haven't seen it yet. Have you seen it, Ray?
No, I have not. This came out over the weekend, right?
Mm, yes.
Either one of you guys seen
it? My in-laws have seen it, and they were very impressed with
it. Chad Groening really enjoyed it, I can tell you that.
Did he? Okay. Well, Chad's our standard.
He is, yes. Yeah. Steve's got a good piece aired yesterday, as a matter of fact.
Who does?
On this particular story, Steve Jordahl.
Okay, Steve does. Yeah,
crack
well,
reporter.
I can only imagine the name of the movie. Of course, everybody's familiar with the song, right? Mercy Me. I can only imagine. That was a huge hit for them.
Right.
That even crossed over into the mainstream.
It did.
Pop stations. It did. But anyway, it's going crazy good at the box office. They brought in, it cost $7 million to make, and they've already brought in $17
million. Yeah.
And, of course, you got to split half that with the, you know, with the theaters, I think. I'm not sure if that's...
There's some money changing.
But still, it's doing really well, and will end up doing really well. It's produced by our friends, the Irwin Brothers.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
You know, John.
Been here on campus many times.
Yes. These guys, they did October Baby. You may remember that movie. And they did Woodlawn.
Excellent film, Under the Radar. If you have not checked that out, I recommend it.
What, Woodlawn?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
I lived in Birmingham, so that kind of resonated with me a little bit.
Okay. And now their latest movie, I can only imagine, which stars Dennis Quaid.
Right.
I think, who's well-known actor. Anyway, congratulations to the Irwin Brothers. Again, I have not seen the movie, but I'm looking forward to
One thing that I really found super interesting about this, there were only two films that beat that in terms of box office sales. One of those was Black Panther, which has been doing great since it came out in February. The other one was the reboot of the Tomb Raider, I think it is, franchise. The interesting thing with I Can Only Imagine is while it did do a lot better than people expected, it also beat out Oprah's Wrinkle in Time, which is a movie starring Oprah, a woman that people want to run for president in 2012. I mean, some people would automatically put her in the White House now if they had the opportunity, and that's based on a beloved children's novel.
Right.
And I Can Only Imagine beat that out. So I can only imagine what is going through the minds of Disney and Oprah at the moment when a faith-based film beat it in the box office.
Well, you know, one of the lessons here, Chris, is A Wrinkle in Time was written from a Christian worldview. And Madeline Lingle, who wrote that book, was writing it from... And there are biblical references and analogies and allusions throughout A Wrinkle in Time. And Disney openly said they played that down almost to the point where you can't even find those biblical references anymore. So A Wrinkle in Time ought to have been, should have been, and I'm not saying it's a bad film, I'm not saying that, but it's a film that should have been, quote, a faith-based film. So what happens when an explicitly faith-based film comes out that's well-made, like I Can Only Imagine, it actually beats out A Wrinkle in Time, which, you know, when is Hollywood going to wake up? When are they going to realize there's a huge market in America for well-made, faith-based films?
Mm-hmm. Well, you've got to have somebody who understands the Christian worldview to make a movie that reflects that, and the Irwin Brothers do.
Right.
And just congratulations to them. Maybe we can get them on our program coming up soon, but...
I remember the old days where we would do Today's Issues in the other building, and they were doing like back and forth interviews when October Baby was coming out. They would do stuff over here with John, and then they'd run over there and talk to you guys and come back and, you know, I mean, all
but
day.
Every movie that the Irwin Brothers have made is a step up, not necessarily with the story. The stories are all great that they presented. But in the quality of the filmmaking and even their star power, they're able to attract to the movie.
Mom's Not Out, they were involved with that project in some aspect, too, I believe.
That was Patricia Heaton.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
So, anyway, congratulations to those guys. I'm looking forward to seeing it. I Can Only Imagine. In theaters everywhere now?
I think it's still in limited release. I may be incorrect there. You could go online and find out, certainly, if it's playing in your mall or look it up in your newspaper.
Okay. You're listening to Today's Issues on the American Family Radio Network. Tim Wellman with Walker Wellman. Chris Woodward. Chris is filling in for Fred Jackson, who's away today. And Dr. Ray Pritchard. Ray's joining us from Dallas. We appreciate you listening to AFR. As Walker said earlier, if you want to watch the show, can't imagine why you wouldn't want to watch the show. You can go to Facebook Live and type in Today's Issues, and or go to, well, you can't and or, you're going to have to choose. You go to YouTube and type in Today's Issues Live Streaming, and you can watch the show there live as well and comment on the program if you would like to do that. All right, Chris, what's next?
The other big story we're going to hear a lot about today and certainly tomorrow, probably through the weekend, involves the spending bill, or the omnibus. It's been referred to in various different ways. It does some things.
You're trying to make us angry on purpose, Chris?
Well, you know.
That's your intent?
As Cronkite would say, that's the way it is.
Okay.
It does some things people maybe are in favor of, and does some things people don't want lawmakers doing. As far as what's in the bill, we can tell you that there's $700 billion for defense, which is something President Trump said he was interested in. Certainly a lot of Republicans have been looking to increase spending for military and whatnot. So $700 billion of this $1.3 trillion spending measure goes to defense. There's also another $500 billion for domestic programs. That includes some money to battle abuse of opioid drugs, something that President Trump has talked about need to combat again. It boosts some spending in the way of veterans, law enforcement, and aid to states for child care. It also includes money for President Trump's wall. The issue here is that it's nowhere near the amount that President Trump and supporters of the wall want. There's $1.6 billion roughly for President Trump to begin building his wall with Mexico and otherwise bolster border security, but again, it's a fraction, really, of what he wants. Why it costs tens of billions of dollars to build the wall, I'm not sure. But some people are concerned that $1.6 billion won't cut it. There's also, guys, incremental steps to curb gun violence. I'm reading from the Associated Press here. One measure pushed by second-ranking Senate GOP leader John Cornyn of Texas, Ray may know him, is backed by both parties and even the NRA. It apparently offers additional federal grants to prod federal agencies and states to send already required records to the federal background check system. What does this mean in English? They're wanting to do some expanded things with background checks.
Parker, what is this omnibus? This is another omnibus bill. What does it do?
Well, it's very bloated, very bloated. They did not cut anything. They did not cut anything. A few important things is, it does not actually fund President Trump's border wall that he has campaigned on and the prototypes he went to visit a couple weeks ago. It puts up some fencing, but half of the $1.6 billion is to replace current fencing.
Fencing? Sounds like something I put in my backyard.
That's kind of what it is. It's a little more high-tech.
What's the deal with the Republicans, House members? Why don't they want to fund the wall?
Well,
that's what the people voted on. Get with it. Fund the wall.
Yeah, they don't want to fight for what they campaign on.
Who doesn't?
The Republicans. The leadership, the Republicans in leadership. They don't want to fight for what they campaigned on.
Why?
That's a good question. Maybe they don't mean what they campaign on. I'm not sure.
Are they a bunch of liars?
Possibly. That's what I would say.
Dishonest politicians?
Yeah.
Who knew?
We're being nice here. I'd really like to say some other words to them, but I'm not. But the main thing is...
Christian Radio Walker.
Yes, I know. Yeah. Well, more name calling, but okay. I'd keep it PG-13.
I said liars already. That's a biblical word.
Yeah. Yeah, but there's some important things. Let's just say we don't even know what's in the bill, which most don't.
reality, not... go ahead.
Let's just say we don't know what's in the bill.
Right.
And most don't know what's in the bill.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Here's the problem. Despite the reckless spending in the bill, which is there, the bill was released at 8 p.m., 8:15 p.m. East Coast time last night. It's going to be voted on in the House after lunchtime today. All right. That is less than 24 hours to read 2,232 pages of the bill.
Now, this is Paul Ryan's deal.
This is Paul Ryan, Mitch McConnell, Nancy Pelosi, and Chuck Schumer's deal. The four of them met privately in a room, a closed-door meeting, and the four of them decided what would be in the bill and what would not.
One of those is the "we have to read the bill to find out what's in it" people.
Right.
Yeah, Nancy Pelosi.
Yes.
And so... this was a closed-door bill put together by four people, not put together by the people we sent up there, our congressmen and representatives. And they're going to have less than 24 hours to read what's in the bill. Last night, they were whipping the bill Whipping means they were seeing who's going to vote for it 2 minutes after they released the bill. The Republicans released the bill, which they're supposed to release it 3 days in advance, and they ignored their own rule. But Steve Scalise, Representative Scalise, was whipping the bill, figuring out who's going to vote for it and who's going
to
vote against
it. It's his job, just to be clear here. It's the job of the whip. Mm-hmm. That's right. That's what which is like the third or fourth ranking member of right. the leadership in the Republican Party, or the Democrats if they're in charge. And his or her job is to pressure his party members to vote for this. True?
Right.
That's his job.
That's correct.
So that is Steve Scalise, the congressman who was shot and almost killed, mm-hmm. But he's back now.
Yeah.
And it's his job to, quote, whip this bill and get the Republican House members to vote for it. True?
Yes. Yes.
Okay.
And so I'm going to quote from Representative, looks like Laudermilk from Georgia, Republican out
okay.
of Georgia. He said to Fox News last night, "When they whipped me, I asked, 'What are you whipping me on?'" He said, and this continues the quote, "You're whipping me 30 minutes after giving me a 2,200-page bill." Laudermilk remarked that he's not, quote, Superman and can't parse the legislation that fast. And another thing, Senator Rand Paul said this morning at 7 a.m. East Coast time, he said, "The 2,200-page budget-busting bill has been printing for 2 hours in my office and is still not done."
Can you imagine the poor, unfortunate soul or souls that had to type that?
Well, it's a copy and paste job.
Well, Paul Ryan needs to go. I don't trust him or believe him anymore. He has no credibility.
Right.
Does he? Does he really?
I've
not always felt that way. I've admired him in the past, but I think yeah. he's just like yeah. he is the establishment. He's the reason they're doing this omnibus thing is because he, Paul Ryan, and his
right.
team up there can't do bills in what they call
regular order
so that they're done in a way, Ray, that's reasonable. In other words, you offer up a defense bill. Right?
Right.
Right.
You critique the defense bill, and then you vote on it, and it's a defense bill. Then you go into other things that are major expenditures in the federal government, and you go through them one by one, and you vote on them one by one. You don't throw everything yeah. into a big, quote, ball of wax and then say yes or no. You know,
yeah.
That's what these congressmen yeah. do. I think they like it this way. This is me talking. This is my opinion after observing this all these years.
Yeah.
They like it this way.
Sure.
Because
sure.
then, Ray, they don't have to vote on the hard stuff one by one.
Right.
So they throw
right.
everything in. And here's what you'll hear from Republicans, a lot of them. "Well, we had to, you know, I don't like it any more than you do, Tim. It funds Planned Parenthood, and it doesn't fund the wall and bails out the Obamacare. But we had to fund the military. If we don't fund the military, mm-hmm. the military families don't get their checks. And I have to vote for that. I'm sorry." Mm-hmm. That's what you hear. But you hear it every time. And there's no end to that excuse, and I don't buy it anymore, and not that I bought it for a couple of years, but so I like the response of that gentleman, the congressman from Georgia,
yeah.
and you also have the senator from Louisiana. What's his name again?
Yeah, John Kennedy.
John Kennedy.
Not that John Kennedy, but the other one. Yeah.
No, senator from Louisiana, yeah. Republican, and he said about the legislation, the omnibus, "This is a Great Dane-sized whiz down the leg of every taxpayer."
Okay, that's a good. That's a visual you won't get out of your mind.
Good for the senator from Louisiana for saying it as plainly as possible, so everybody can understand. Anyway, we still need to be involved and engaged and vote, but it wouldn't bother me if some of these Republicans lose.
Yeah.
I'm talking about in the House mm-hmm. in particular, mm-hmm. who are pushing this kind of stuff year after year after year, and they're not wanting to do the hard things that people voted for them on. We'll be back momentarily. Stay with us.
Trivia Friday.
Star Trek question. What powers the impulse drive?
Dilithium crystals?
My second cousin twice removed was on dilithium crystals. And every time when everybody's sitting around trying to have some peace and quiet, his arm would fly up in the air. You didn't know if he was trying to salute you or get somebody's attention.
Trivia Friday, 10 a.m. Central.
And two different times when he tried to say something, the garage door went up and down.
On American Family Radio.
Random.
Hello, everyone. I'm Tim Wildman, president of American Family Association and American Family Radio. Well, our June Spiritual Heritage Tour is full, and our September trip is filling up fast. So if you want to go with us to Washington, D.C. and Mount Vernon for our Spiritual Heritage Tour, you need to sign up soon. We're going to be seeing lots and lots of sites, including the Capitol, the Library of Congress, the Supreme Court, the Jefferson and Lincoln Memorials, the Korean and Vietnam Memorials, the Arlington National Cemetery, and much, much more. For all the information on this tour, September the 19th through the 22nd, please go to the website spiritualheritagetours.com. That's spiritualheritagetours.com for all the information. And we also go to Williamsburg, Jamestown, and Yorktown. That's a separate trip, but we put them back-to-back in case you want to do both of those tours. Again, that's in September. For more information, go to the website spiritualheritagetours.com.
Hello, Americans. I'm Todd Starnes with news and commentary next.
From Affirm Films, the studio that brought you Risen and War Room, comes Paul, Apostle of Christ. Two men challenged an empire in order to live out the gospel of Jesus Christ and spread their message to the world.
Where sin abounds, grace abounds more.
Starring Jim Caviezel. Paul, Apostle of Christ. Rated PG-13. May be inappropriate for children under 13. In theaters March 23rd. More information is available at paulmovie.com.
The future of the Trump presidency hangs in the balance today. GOP leaders are trying to shove through a massive spending bill that funds Planned Parenthood and sanctuary cities, but does not fund a border wall. $1.3 trillion, 2,300 pages. And lawmakers have barely 24 hours to read the legislation. In other words, you have to pass the bill to see what's in the bill. The House Freedom Caucus is taking a bold stand in opposition, calling it an insult to American taxpayers. The Heritage Foundation also condemned GOP leadership, calling it an embarrassing rundown of broken promises. And that brings me to the midterm elections. If Republicans pass this spending bill today, I predict they will suffer massive losses at the ballot box. And you'd better believe the first order of business for Speaker Pelosi and Majority Leader Schumer will be impeachment. I'm Todd Starnes.
This is today's issues. Email your comments to comments@afr.net. Past broadcasts of today's issues are available for listening and viewing in the archive at afr.net. Now, back to more of today's issues.
Hey, welcome back, everybody, to today's issues on the American Family Radio Network. I'm Tim with Walker. And Chris Woodward's filling in for Fred, and Ray Pritchard's in with us in Dallas. And we appreciate you listening to American Family Radio. Thank you so much. You can check us out on the internet. Our website's afr.net, afr.net. And we have an email address. If you'd like to send us an email, you can just do that at comments@afr.net. comments@afr.net. Next topic. Chris?
Well, I want to bridge away, but still talk about some similar things there. We were talking about the spending bill there, and you know, Republicans facing maybe losing some seats in the midterm elections. I do not have sound from this. We aired some of it yesterday evening on American Family News in the newscast that Steve was anchoring. But Ronna McDaniel was on the Todd Starnes show yesterday, and of course, Democrats will beg to differ. But she said things are looking good for the GOP heading toward the midterm election, and she said tax reform has resulted in something like 90% of Americans seeing bigger paychecks, higher wages, and jobs coming back to this country. She then went on to go tout how they brought in $12.8 million in February, which was a record.
To who?
For the Republican Party in the month of February.
Oh, you mean donations to
right.
The Republican Party? Okay.
And she ended by saying, quote, "We're going to have a lot of races that we're going to have to be competitive in, and we've got to keep those majorities in the House and Senate so we can continue this great comeback that we're seeing under President Trump." Here's the thing. These comments from Ronna McDaniel on the Todd Starnes show were made before the ginormous bill that is still apparently printing out in the office of Senator Rand Paul. So if this comes out and it is a giant Great Dane thing, as the senator from Louisiana said, is this, in your opinion, going to hurt the Republican Party as a whole?
Ask the question again.
Is this going to impact Republicans' chances of retaining the House?
Well, I'll tell you what it does, because I read an email this morning, and this is just one email, but I think it's representative. And this was somebody's a family member on staff here at the ministry. And the family member, who does not work for us, mm-hmm. who was writing, and said, can you believe this bill that the Republicans are about to pass? What's the point of even voting if they're going to do the same thing Democrats do? And I think that reflects – so to answer your question, I think if that's the attitude, which I can't blame the person for having, then, yes, it could dampen the enthusiasm of the Republican voter out there, and cause, and the Democrats are going to have good turnout because two reasons. One is the midterm elections typically do favor the party that's not in power in the White House, mm-hmm. always. What happened to President Obama during 2010, 2 years after he was elected, you had the Tea Party wave, and the Republicans had historic numbers to take over the House of Representatives. So it's, you know, I know the economy is picking up because of the tax cuts and other things, but other things are offsetting that, as we've talked about already here this morning. Ray, what do you think about this, and then Walker?
Well, I want to ask a question. What has the president said about this omnibus bill, which has, as we've said, some good things in it, but a lot of pork, a lot of junk, a lot of stuff that we really can't stand. Has he said anything about it?
I think he likes the defense spending.
He was showing reservations yesterday morning because he was frustrated with the lack of wall funding. But Paul Ryan and Senator McConnell rushed over to the Oval Office and got President Trump in line, so to speak. And now he's supporting the bill.
Yeah.
So.
Well, and then to me, that's part of the answer to the question. There's a long way to go between now and November, right? Mm-hmm. I mean, a long way to go. How many? You know, who knows? Who knows what the world situation will be in the fall?
Right.
If this bill passes, and if the president is for it, it's going to pass one way or the other, right?
Mm-hmm.
My guess is this fades into the memory. Well, by the time of the fall, there'll be other issues, I think, bigger than this.
This shouldn't be seen as a absolute criticism of President Trump, what I'm about to say, because I do think he's doing a lot of good. And I think the people he's put in particular offices, like Jeff Sessions mm-hmm. and others, are doing a lot of good. He's appointing great judges. I mean, there's so much to be thankful for with the Trump administration. However, on this kind of thing right here, he doesn't want to fight this.
No.
He doesn't want to fight this. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
He doesn't want to fight the Republicans and the Democrats on a spending bill. I mean, what does he care? Except that he doesn't get what he wanted, which was he gets part of his.
Yeah, and he gets the opportunity to say as much and, you know, get rid of any kind of blame on his part.
Yeah, the spending by the federal government has been out of control for a number of years, and both parties are to blame. The Republicans, here's where the Republicans are often disingenuous, and maybe this will end there. What they do is they run as fiscal conservatives and people who are for responsible government spending, and let's quit spending more than we take in. We're going to go broke, yada, yada. You hear this from the Republicans when they run for office. Mm-hmm. When they go to Washington, yet they vote right the opposite of that. This is a prime example.
Oh, yeah.
This omnibus bill is a prime example of that.
Obamacare was another one.
So they that's why I use the I know I don't, you know, the word liar is strong. But, I mean, I don't know what else how I should look at it. You could say dishonest. I just use the word disingenuous of a lot of Republicans in the Republican Party. Don't talk to me anymore about wanting to get spending under control.
Yeah.
Because that's a that's a complete farce, and it's laugh out loud.
Right.
We're headed towards I don't know what we're headed towards. It's the great unknown. We've entered a black hole. We're 22. Ray, is it 22?
Yeah. And rising all the time, right?
We're $22 trillion in debt. The Republicans are not in any mood, nor is President Trump, of stopping that from going higher. And I don't know the implications of cutting the budget and what that would mean to jobs or anything like that. I'm just saying that somewhere down the road here, we probably can't see it, there's likely to be a catastrophe of proportions we can't even understand. I don't wish that on us, and I hope it doesn't happen.
Yeah.
On the other hand, you could say this. You could say, Tim, we've been hearing this for 10 years now. We're $23 trillion. If $23 trillion in debt can't stop this train, how do you know $50 trillion can or $100 trillion can?
Yeah.
So you could argue, and that's a rational argument, I think. Go ahead, Walker.
President Trump, it seems that he's instinctively not a conservative.
Fiscally.
He's lived a very lavish lifestyle because he's had a lot of money. So he's not, his instinct is not to cut spending. But I believe that if Congress would send him a good conservative bill, he would sign it. So, but he's not going to fight. He's not going to swim upstream against his own party to fight liberal spending.
Well, let me ask this question. Why did the Republicans agree to leave Planned Parenthood funding in this bill? Is the same old stuff? They just don't have the courage to make that fight?
I think it is an optics issue because it's very easy for somebody to go on a CNN or something and be labeled anti-woman, anti-women's health, and all the other things that we've heard for decades now that Planned Parenthood supposedly does and doesn't. And they don't want to be labeled anti-women, especially going into a midterm election in which historically the party that holds the White House in most elections loses seats in the midterm election.
You know, Chris, first of all, you're 100% right. I mean, that's the obvious answer. But then the rest of us, I mean, we all want to come back and go, okay, we've got the House, we've got the Senate, we've got the White. When are we ever going to have a better chance than we've got right now?
Yeah, remember Planned Parenthood gets
half a billion.
Half a billion dollars, $500 million of taxpayers' money. And they are the number one provider of abortions in America. We all know that. And the Republicans have run on this as a party to end the funding of Planned Parenthood. It is the optics issue, which Republicans are they're scared of being labeled just as you anti-woman or whatever. But the other problem is what they will tell you is that the votes are not there in the Senate to defund Planned Parenthood. But if you were to defund Planned Parenthood in this omnibus bill, for example, take it out, then tell the Democrats to oppose it. You know what I'm
saying?
Oh,
yeah.
This is the thing that the Republicans won't do. They don't have the guts to do something like this. Now, they probably would on some other issue, but on this issue, for some reason, they won't fight.
What's so frustrating is in 2018 and back in 2016, they campaign on these big, grand, conservative ideas that we all love. Mm-hmm. They say, we're going to defund Planned Parenthood. By the way, Planned Parenthood is under criminal investigation by the Department of Justice, but they're still receiving taxpayer dollars.
Right.
But they campaign on, we're going to defund Planned Parenthood, we're going to repeal Obamacare, we're going to build a wall, we're going to secure our border, blah, 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 blah. And they don't do any of it. They don't even try to do it. They don't do any of it. And the bill that Paul Ryan put together didn't even have any of the conservative stuff in it. They didn't even give it a shot.
Well, except the increase in the military spending, which they're going to hang their hat on, for this. That's what they're leading with.
Increasing. Right.
And the military is important. To support the military. But anyway, I just think that this is going to potentially hurt the spirit of the people who voted, especially the Tea Party. And a lot of the Tea Party guys unfortunately went to Washington and became establishment.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
It took them a few years, but they've become, you know, they had swamp, they have swamp grass growing on the north side of their leg.
Yeah. You know, I heard this in 2012.
Was that a bad?
Well, I thought you were going to
well,
say.
Well, you're the president. You
swamp grass.
Well, I know, but I was it a bad?
Growing on the north side of the White House lawn.
Well, you know, no, it's moss. Moss. Not swamp grass. Moss. Ray, is it moss?
Yeah, it's moss. Yeah.
That grows on the north side of trees?
Yeah. Yes. Yes.
Is that always true?
Well, I don't know enough about moss.
But I can't verify it.
Well, anyway, I think people, you get the idea.
Right.
Of where Brother Tim was coming from right there.
You know, I heard this in 2012. It was after Mitt Romney failed to defeat incumbent President Barack Obama. And I think it's really an argument that probably could be applied to a lot of Republican Party issues since then. Somebody somewhere back in 2012 said Democrats play to win and Republicans play not to lose. And there is a difference.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that the playing not to lose is why they include the Planned Parenthood funding.
Well, one other thing, and I keep saying this, we say this every other day, but I have to keep reminding folks, because it's what they're going to say. It's always what the Republicans say is the reason they can't do something. And you have to, and it all sounds to the uninformed or the mildly informed person, they sort of buy the excuse, you know, why the Republicans don't mm-hmm. do any more than they do. What the Republicans are going to say is, well, Tim, Ray, Walker, Chris, listening family in America, the Democrats have enough votes to block us in the Senate because of the filibuster.
Mm-hmm.
So we have to deal with that reality and understand that, and so we're not going to get everything we want because of that reason. What they don't tell you to follow up there, my question would be to them, so are you in favor of the filibuster, the 60-vote rule? Yes, I am, Mr. That says the Republican back to me. Senator, okay, so let me get this right. You are in favor of the Democrats being able to block everything you want to do. That's what you're telling me? Yes, Tim, that's what I'm telling you. How do you expect to win and win in November when you're allowing the Democrats to block you at every turn? Because... and you sign up for that. Now, I don't know what the answer to that is. The only answer they'll give you back is, well, one day the Democrats will be in charge of the White House, and we'll be glad we were able to block it with a filibuster with a 60-vote rule. That's the only answer that they have, is that someday in the future we may meet.
And anybody that makes the someday in the future argument, that to me says we don't really believe that we can,
yeah, right.
Continue to succeed.
And my whole thing is it's self-defeating. That yeah. attitude, right. First of all, the 60-vote filibuster threshold is not in the Constitution. Mm-hmm. It's a Senate rule that can be changed. And secondly, that allowing the Democrats to block everything you do, and you allow it to happen when you could change it, means nothing gets done that needs to get done for the wall spending, for example, right. Walker, and you lose in the end because you don't do anything. But you don't do anything because you don't want to do anything because right. you allow the Democrats to block you everything.
Right.
You see what I'm saying? So I don't buy that our hands are tied. Our hands are tied, Tim. Well, you know, we have to have 60 votes in the Senate. Why do you have to have 60 votes? Because we like it that way.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah, and another aspect of this, the problem is, and you mentioned this earlier in the show, is that they're passing these 2,000-plus page bills.
Has Senator Rand Paul been able to print all this off yet?
It's probably still printing.
Okay.
But the problem is you're supposed to pass 12 different appropriation bills to fund all 12
right.
parts of the government.
That's called regular order, right?
That's called regular order. Speaker Paul Ryan pledged before he became House Speaker
yes.
and when he was sworn in as House Speaker,
yes.
he pledged we will return to regular order and we will pass all 12 appropriation bills.
Okay,
he hasn't done that yet. He's been in power for over 2 years.
He's been John Boehner, too.
Yes. He's John Boehner 2.0. He's been in power for over 2 years,
right?
And they have refused to pass all 12 appropriation bills. And this is what he says in his press release yesterday.
This is
House Speaker Paul Ryan. This is what he says.
What'd he say?
No bill of this size is perfect. Well, duh. That's why we're complaining about it right now.
Right.
We must reform our broken budget process to return to a regular appropriations process. When is that going to start? Tomorrow?
After the November election.
And who's the Speaker of the House?
He is. And let me just say this. Let me just give him the benefit of the doubt. Okay, Mr. Ryan, I'll forgive all your past sins. Let's get back to regular order. Well, I'm going to check back next week, and they will have not returned to regular order for the next upcoming budget in 6 months.
And they like it that way. If they have to vote on every lot of them, not all Republicans, but a lot of them like it that way. That way they don't have to take hard votes.
Right.
They can just throw everything in a pot and say yes or no, thumbs up or down, and then they have to say, hey, as Paul Ryan says, I don't like it any more than you do, Tim, but man, we can't shut down the government.
Several years ago,
I'm getting bored
with
this topic.
Well, can we move on with something else? Let's talk about Facebook. We have many of our listeners
on Facebook.
A lot of people use Facebook. Facebook has been in the news for several days now because, as it was disclosed in a number of news reports, there was an organization called Cambridge Analytica that was basically collecting data and using it for questionable purposes. And Facebook perhaps was aware of it, didn't do anything to stop it. And as a result, Facebook may have violated an agreement several years ago with the FTC. We've got clip two here. This is Congressman Mike Johnson of Louisiana talking about how serious a situation this is on Washington Watch with Tony Perkins.
It's a very, very important issue of grave concern to many of us in the Congress who are privacy advocates. You know, this is a major issue. Some people will remember back in 2011, the Federal Trade Commission entered into a consent decree with Facebook. This was a concern and has been for years. And the terms of the consent decree said it required Facebook to obtain consent from their users before any of their data was shared. And this appears to be just an open breach of that requirement of Facebook. And that was a necessary safeguard and protection for people, consumers, average everyday Americans who have no idea that their data is being mined, that their personal information is being co-opted and shared for ulterior motives of outside organizations. It's a very, very serious concern for all of us.
Now, Facebook CEO Mark Zuckerberg has also been in the news because published reports point out the fact that he's been selling stock in Facebook leading up to all of this hitting the news cycle. Members of Congress want Mr. Zuckerberg to appear to testify. This is actually clip four if we have time for it. Zuckerberg was on CNN and he says he would testify if it's, quote, the right thing to do.
So this was a major breach of trust, and I'm really sorry that this happened. We have a basic responsibility to protect people's data, and if we can't do that, then we don't deserve to have the opportunity to serve people. So our responsibility now is to make sure that this doesn't happen again. We need to make sure that there aren't any other Cambridge Analytica's out there, right, or folks who have improperly accessed data. So we're going to go now and investigate every app that has access to a large amount of information from before we lock down our platform.
A lot of people have been calling for people to delete their Facebook accounts. I have one. I share the gospel in various news articles and all sorts of things on my Facebook account, which you're free to check out. So it's going to be interesting to see how this plays out and whether or not he actually follows through on his agreement that he would testify if it is the right thing to do.
You know, part of the problem, Chris, is that Facebook is so large, 2.6 billion users.
Yeah.
That's like what? I mean, do the math. It's like one out of every three people on planet Earth
have
a Facebook page. Let's suppose, he says he makes all the right sounds. Who can even check? Facebook is it's bigger than a government. I mean, it's bigger than any nation. How do we even know that Zuckerberg is going to do what he says he does? Who even has access to check him on something like this? This part of the problem.
Yeah.
You can get so big, nobody can really, that you're accountable to no one.
Right.
Well, I think you just, someone told me who's in IT, you just better just assume that, everybody that your information is on the internet is available for viewing. Just assume that, and you just that's just probably a good rule of thumb. Hey, let's change topics. We got Alex McFarland for just a few minutes here before the program ends today. Wanted to get to him and talk to him about Palm Sunday. Alex, you there?
I'm here.
You had no idea what I was going to ask you about, but I know you and Brother Bert are going to be covering this on your program, Exploring the Word, this afternoon or each afternoon. It airs weekdays at American Family Radio at 3:05 Central Time. It's an on-air live Bible study with Brother Bert Harper and Dr. Alex McFarland, and it's a unique part of our programming here at American Family Radio, so we invite you to join Alex and Bert this afternoon. What is the significance of this Sunday, Palm Sunday, to the Christian faith?
Oh, great question. Well, for one thing, Palm Sunday is a fulfillment of Zechariah. 500 years before the birth of Christ in Zechariah 9, we read about the Messiah that would ride into Jerusalem on a donkey, and they would shout, Hosanna, and he would come as a man of peace. But only days after shouting, Hosanna, blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord, they would reject him, and they would cry, crucify him, crucify him. So when Jesus rode into Jerusalem on what we now call Palm Sunday, it was the fulfillment of a prophecy made 500 years in advance.
Alex, go ahead, Ray. Let me ask you a follow-up question here. For folks who are, say, in a non-denominational, grew up, say, Baptist or Bible church, and they didn't, we know the mainline denominations observe Palm Sunday. The Catholics, of course, observe Palm Sunday, but many of our listeners may have grown up in a tradition. Why does it matter that we even stop to think about what happened on that day?
Well, great question. You know, some of the churches that are more high church involved, you know, they observe Holy Week. And, I think it's important to reflect on it and observe it because part of church history, it's a part of the gospel, how the Son of God ultimately would go to the cross. And on Passover, he would be the Lamb of God who would pay for the sin of the world. But I think it's a very worshipful thing, and it's important that we, to our children and grandchildren and upcoming generations, instill not only the truth of the gospel, but a great reverence for it. I do want to say I did an audiobook with American Family Studios. It just came out on the God you thought you knew, responding to common myths about the gospel. And in my audiobook that we did with Jeff Shambly and his wonderful team at American Family Studios, we talk about 10 common objections that young people have. And that audio book is available on the AFA store. And for Easter, the resurrection, and all of these types of issues, I would encourage people to check it out.
Just go to afastore.net, afastore.net,
afastore.net.
Palm Sunday, this Sunday, and then we've got Easter Sunday the following. 30 seconds, Alex. Why is it called Good Friday?
Wow, great question. It's Good Friday because it makes it possible for us to go to heaven. On that Friday, the Son of God came to sins the world, and whosoever will may come to him.
Even though Jesus was crucified on that day, and we think of that as, well, you think
as
of that
a tragedy.
Yeah, tragedy. If that's all it was, it would be a tragedy. But we know Sunday happened, and Resurrection Day happened.
The tomb was left empty so that our lives could be made full.
So that's why we call it Good Friday. It's the day that Jesus went to the cross for our sins.
Absolutely.
Right? All right, listen, Alex, sorry to rush in 2,000 years of theology in 5 minutes, but look forward to hearing you and Bert this afternoon.
Amen. We're in the Gospel of John.
All right, that's this afternoon at 3:05 Central Time on American Family Radio. We shall return after the news. Thanks, Chris.
Thank you.
Be back in a minute, folks.
The views and opinions expressed in this broadcast do not necessarily reflect those of the American Family Association or American Family Radio.